Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast, presents episode 593, Yap Yap, the Methane Addict, recorded live on August 22nd, 2017. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I am your host, Duststorm.
And I'm your co-host, Godzilla T.
And we are actually weeks and days away from some very cool things coming out, some very cool things happening as the summer starts to wrap up with a lot of things. Gamescom is actually happening this week, so there's a couple of Halo announcements out from there that we'll talk about in the show. We don't have any big topics to talk about, which is, I think, the first time in 2 months that we actually haven't had a big topic or guest to talk about on the podcast. So this will be a nice kind of break before we get into the swing of PAX for me and hopefully some other Halo announcements.
Well, we could be like every other news organization in the world and talk about the solar eclipse.
Did you get a chance to see it?
Yes. I did get a chance to see it. I had to look through some thin clouds, but I was able to see it. I didn't get to see totality, but I got it down to a pretty thin line. Of course, that morning, if anybody was paying attention to Twitter, this is like 2 hours before the eclipse happened. It is flat pouring rain.
Oh, no.
I mean, just sheets of water falling.
Oh, well, good thing I guess it cleared up.
Yeah, it cleared up. The people that were actually in the path of totality, I think they got to watch about 10 seconds of it between clouds.
Oh, no. That sucks.
Yeah. I feel bad for them. Because, I mean, there was people there that drove from Oklahoma. Well, there was a couple there from Minnesota. They were talking to them on the news that morning.
Oh, wow.
It's like, they drove all that way to watch clouds. Sorry, guys.
Aw.
But it was cool. It looked just like the last one I saw.
Oh, you've seen one before?
We had one hit our area. Let's see. Be like 93. Something like that. It was a partial.
Okay.
It blocked about half the sun. Or a little bit more than half the sun.
Gotcha. We got a chance to see it at 85%, I think, for where we were. And for where I was at work, a whole bunch of people were outside and sharing the glasses around. So that was really cool. And I stuck my phone up to take a picture through the glasses. So I got a couple pictures, and one of them I threw up on Instagram, which went to Twitter and Facebook. And it looked really cool. That was the first partial eclipse that I've seen in person. Or I guess have bothered to see in person.
I was using a welding lens, and I kept getting reflection off the welding lens, so all my pictures came out pretty blurry.
Oh, no.
But that's okay.
It's hard to get out the reflections sometimes, especially if you're trying to take a picture. And then, I guess with the phone, if you're just holding it up to the... Because if you have it down on your face, and there's really not any light coming in. It was a really cool thing to see, and the next one is going to be April 8th, 2014. 2024.
I was going to say you're missing a decade there.
Yeah. And that's going to be going from Texas to Maine, so I think I'm actually going to try to fly out to somewhere that the eclipse is going to be totality in. Whether that's going to be New York or maybe go to Texas for that, I'm not sure yet. But I would like to get some camera gear that can take pictures of the partial eclipse and then the total eclipse once it gets to that point.
Well, you just have to get the right filter for your lens.
And I would want a telescoping lens to help kind of zoom in on it.
That could get expensive.
Yeah, I know. There's rental stuff that you can get. I rented some stuff when I went to Iceland, some lenses, so I could not necessarily have to pay $4,000 for the lens and just maybe just get it for a few hundred dollars instead.
Oh, you think someone might object to spending $4,000 on a camera lens?
There's some pretty expensive lenses out there.
Oh, just believe me, I know.
It's crazy how expensive some of that stuff gets.
I mean, my dad's old 35mm, he had one lens that was $600. Just one lens. And it wasn't even one of the big telescoping lenses. It was it did magnify, but nowhere near that scale.
I got 7 years, though, so there's plenty of time.
Start kissing up now.
Yeah. There was one picture on Twitter that I saw going through just kind of the hashtags of a photographer taking a picture, and you could actually see the details of the moon. I guess it was just exposed enough where you could see the craters of the moon and the details of the moon. And then you could actually see the corona, the plasma lines coming off of the sun. And it was such a really cool picture.
Yeah, they were showing that on the news. They were showing video of it. It was somewhere off to the east, close to the East Coast. I don't remember exactly where. But they showed totality. And then you saw the guy take the filter off the lens and you see this black orb with this orange glow around it. And, you know, it looks like fire. I mean, it's much more pronounced than when the main body of the sun isn't blocked because, you know, that main orb just washes everything out. But with that moon in front of it, the flame coming off the sun looked like it grew another 150 miles.
Yeah, it's amazing what you can see with an eclipse. I'm excited for the next one. I really want to go someplace that's a total eclipse and then take some good pictures with it or of it.
Where I was about 98%, I'd say. I mean, there was just a sliver.
That's pretty cool.
It got dark, don't get me wrong.
It was very eerie because even though it was about 85% where we were, just seeing the light, just there's not as much sunlight, so it's darker outside. Like you still know it's daylight, but it feels more gray.
Yeah, it's a different kind of dark than if it was just cloudy.
It's very eerie, like something out of a video game. At the same time, it was really cool. The other thing I saw on Twitter, which I retweeted, was someone taking a video while they're on a plane and seeing the shadow of the moon sweep across the clouds.
Yeah, that'd be a cool shot. I'll have to try to find that one.
I'm going to link it into the chat right now, since I actually have it here. Oops, and I did that one from the Podtacular account. Anyways, that was one of the cooler things, too, of being able to see that. Just the shadow of the moon moving across the clouds. I think a couple other people said they saw either some of the photos. Did anyone else in the chat get to actually see the eclipse straight up? The total eclipse from where they were? I know Pins isn't in the path of it. I don't know where York lives. Eclipses are cool. And I look forward to trying to take pictures of the next one.
I think that's funny how the shadow of the moon was moving faster than the plane.
Yeah. I think NASA had one of their planes up in the air, too, trying to track the eclipse. I don't think it was going fast enough to keep up with it. In that video, you can see a timer tick up because the video is actually accelerated. I think it was over a duration of 4.5 minutes where they saw the shadow pass by them.
Well, let's see. The Earth, rotates at 25,000 miles per hour, correct? Or something like that? 22,000 miles per hour?
Sounds something like that, yeah.
And the moon rotates or orbits the Earth, so it's going faster than the Earth rotates. So it's moving along.
Yeah, but it's moving. Does the moon orbit with the rotation of the Earth, so it would actually be kind of going slower?
Well, it rotates on a diagonal to the Earth's axis.
No, but I mean, like, sorry, the orbit of the moon. Does it go with the rotation of the Earth?
No, I think it goes the opposite. I don't know. That's a good question.
I'm looking up Google.
Google is your friend.
Well, what's the? Does anyone know what the prograde direction means?
No, we're not teaching a science class, Pens.
That's what I was thinking, Confal. That the orbit would be the same as the rotation.
How about we talk about some Halo now?
Let's talk about some Halo. So at Gamescom, we have a couple of announcements. Well, really one announcement that's Halo specific. And that is the Awakening the Nightmare DLC got a date for when it will be available, which is going to be September 26th. Available for Xbox One and Windows 10. And that is the first piece of content for Halo Wars 2 that is not included in the Season Pass. And Yap Yap Dead Destroyer, which actually just launched, I think, yesterday? Or maybe last Friday? Sometime over the weekend. Is the last piece of content that is actually included with the Season Pass.
And I have to admit, I love the trailer they made for Yip Yap.
Anything with grunts is usually pretty fun to watch. Probably one of the more cartoony and animated characters in the entire franchise. It makes for some lighthearted moments. Helps break up the monotony.
It's always fun.
Definitely. It always is. That's all the info that we have out of Gamescom that's specific to Halo. Light load there.
Whew, man.
We have a couple of articles to go through, though. Yeah, I know, right? That was a lot. Whew. Glad we got through that without any sweat. The couple of articles that we have to go over are the community update, and then Yap Yap the Destroyer, which now that I'm looking at, the article was posted on the 18th, which I guess that means that the content came out on Friday last week.
Mm-hmm.
So let's go over the community update to start off with. We mentioned in one of the past updates, I don't think it was last week, so I think it was the one maybe before that, or maybe the one from 3 weeks ago. But they're looking at updating the sandbox as far as weapon tuning. This week they specified 3 more weapons, and some of the changes are going to be coming to that set of weapons. That's going to be part of the weapon tuning. In total, it's going to be 14 different weapons and 1 power-up that they're going to be changing, and a lot of the stuff they're testing are going to be available in kind of a matchmaking playlist like we've seen previous sandbox tweak testing before. It'll be one playlist that's going to be in matchmaking to test those settings and allow community to give feedback on it, and then they'll take that, put final tunings to it, and release that to the rest of the game, which will be firefight, multiplayer, and campaign. The 3 different weapons that they listed in this update are the fuel rod cannon, the grenade launcher, and the railgun. The issue with the fuel rod cannon is there were problems in gameplay regarding the blast radius and the high rate of fire for the fuel rod cannon. They don't go into specifics what that is, whether or not it's too effective or it's too self-destructive. They didn't really specify. I think it may be a little bit of both.
I never really had a problem with the blast radius on the fuel rod, but the rate of fire, definitely. I think just a standard fuel rod cannon, it's a little bit too fast.
It does seem like it compared to past fuel rods in the past. Past fuel rods. But at the same time, well, no, I guess, because the fuel rod, it's been a while since I've actually played Halo 5, I'll admit. Does the fuel rod, if you take a straight on hit with full shields, does it take you out, or is it just take out your shields and a little bit of health in Halo 5?
I don't know. I haven't been hit head on with a fuel rod in a while.
I think it's an instant kill in Halo 5.
I know the way it's used, well, most of the times when I come across it, the way it's used is they use the splash damage to kill you. You know, they'll just unload and hit the ground next to you or hit the wall next to you and use the splash damage to kill you.
I do that all the time.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. It's the effective way to do it. I do the same thing with a rocket launcher. But the rocket launcher, even the splash damage, within a certain range is one hit kill. Where the fuel rod, it's a lot smaller area.
So I don't know if which direction this is going to be changed for the fuel rod, whether it's going to be a buff or a nerf, at least based on the description that they give.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see what they do with it.
So next one being the grenade launcher. They're looking to make it more of a mid-tier weapon to provide more indirect damage. So altering behaviors such as the grenade velocity, bounce behavior, etc. They are, I guess, this may... And the grenade launcher has kind of felt this way to me, at least in Halo 5, where the EMP or the pushback effect of the grenade launcher isn't as effective as it was in Halo Reach. I don't know if that's necessarily a good or a bad thing. And the damage done by the grenade launcher doesn't seem to be quite as powerful as Reach's. And I know there's a lot of sandbox tweaks and balancing there because of how many more weapons are in Halo 5 compared to Halo Reach.
Well, in Halo Reach, with that grenade launcher, you had to pretty much pop it right there on your target. In Halo 5, it seems like you don't have to be as close to get a kill with it, with the actual grenade. Because, you know, it almost is like, you know, a frag grenade in its blast radius. Where, you know, in Halo Reach, it seemed like it was a lot smaller blast radius to get a kill. I mean, it knocked shields off, but it wouldn't kill over, you know, a certain amount of distance. And it seems like that with the Halo 5 grenade launcher, that distance is a lot further away.
It feels the opposite to me for some reason.
All I know is I die by it a lot.
I love the grenade launcher.
Yeah, the pro pipe I can understand. It, you know, it does what it's, you know, what its description says it will. I mean, it's a one-hit kill if they hit you with the grenade. And even if it explodes near you, it's still pretty much a kill. You know, just the regular grenade launcher, it just, to me, it feels more powerful than the Reach one did. But I'm not saying that I was ever any good with either one of them.
So I wonder, based on the description, if it's going to be, again, kind of like the fuel rod, if it's going to be a nerf or a buff. And it seems like maybe a buff on the effects of the grenade launcher, so maybe not direct hit effects, but the EMP effect, the blast radius, and maybe some of the pushback effects. So we'll see. And the final one that they mentioned was the rail gun. They have found that it is too good at close range. It's too easy to snapshot. It's meant to be more of a sniper style weapon that is meant to be planned and deliberately used to reach targets. So they're looking at what looks like nerfing the rail gun to make it more difficult to use at close range, maybe a little more effective at long range.
Yeah. Well, I could, for the standard rail gun, I just don't see that.
I wonder if it's going to be.
Now, you know, like if they were talking about the Whiplash, yeah. But that's the benefit of using the Whiplash or the, you know, the Arc Light, because you can run around with it charged all the time. But the standard rail gun, it just, I don't know. Maybe I just off on the charge time, but it just seems like it takes a long time to charge if you're caught by surprise.
I think maybe what they're getting at here with this one is the, what I would call the effective projectile size, because you could be a little loose with your aim on the railgun, it feels like, to get a kill with it.
Maybe that's what they're talking about. And maybe they're going to take some stickiness out of the reticle, make it to where you need to be a little bit more precise with it.
Yeah, I don't know if that's going to be a decrease in, I guess, an increase in charge time, if that's going to be a little bit smaller reticles being put out by the railgun, or maybe less, well, it wouldn't be less damage. Maybe less splash damage?
But they never really... I don't think I've ever really been killed by splash damage on a railgun.
I'm not sure. It sounds like they're going to nerf it.
be nice if they'd give a little bit more description.
I know. These three are very vague. At least the last three were a little more specific. Oh, well. We have our next Halo book announced, which is going to be Halo Legacy of Onyx. This book is going to be written by Matt Forbeck, and it's going to pick off where the short story that he wrote in Halo Fractures left off, with the ongoing stories of the Shield World Onyx. This was first introduced to us.
Spartan 3 story.
That is very true.
Tom and Lucy.
Which I need to go back and... That reminds me, I need to still finish Broken Circle.
You have lots of books to finish.
I know. Perfect time now, too. I've got a lot of stuff out of the way after 2 weeks, after PAX. So no more excuses after PAX. Yep. As GT said, Tom and Lucy are going to be making their return. And for those that have read The Ghosts of Onyx, you'll probably remember those two characters from the book. Legacy of Onyx is just going to continue the story around the Shield World of Onyx. We have a couple new characters that we'll be introduced to in the book. And we'll get the Abiding Truth wrapped in here from the Covenant side of things to Onyx. So there's going to be quite a bit of stuff going on here. I'm looking forward to it.
Oh, definitely.
Onyx is always a fascinating thing for me reading through the books. And I think my other favorite Spartan...
Who's your favorite Spartan?
Other than Master Chief, because when I made my gamer tag, I had one of them as Duststorm 117, and then I had a second gamer tag, so I made that Duststorm 051 after Kurt from Ghosts of Onyx.
That's cool.
I just really liked how they portrayed his character, and I felt like I related to Kurt very well.
Yeah, the way they portrayed Kurt in that in Ghost of Onyx, it definitely departs from the standard that we've come to know with Spartans.
And I think that's just kind of how the series has evolved, or the franchise.
Well, I mean, even now, at least with the Spartan 2s, Kurt was a really different character than the rest of the Spartan 2s we've gotten to know. For one, he's one of the first to actually be in a command position as an officer. And just, you know, the choices he made with the Spartan 3s, you know, however well justified, you know, they border on that questionable, you know, that questionable area, you know, kind of like Dr. Halsey and, you know, the cloned kids. You know, some of the stuff that the not up and up stuff that, you know, like Halsey had done. You know, undesirable things that he did to those children. Granted, to help save their lives, but, you know, it's that area that just kind of makes you squeamish. So I'm looking forward to... I am definitely looking forward to reading Legacy of Onyx. The little blip they put in Fractures, just it really whet my appetite for that book.
That's another book I still need to read. I'll get there. I need to sooner or later.
Eventually.
So Legacy of Onyx doesn't have a release date yet. I will guess probably sometime next year? Early next year?
I thought I saw something on it, but I don't remember now.
Maybe in a tweet. It's not in the update.
But anyway, I'm still looking forward to it. I also can't wait for Retribution to come out.
That's the next thing up on the list, which comes out in exactly a week from when we're recording this. There is it's Troy Denning's latest book coming out August 29th. So that'll be the Tuesday before PAX rolls around. And actually, just to go back a little bit, Pins posted the Amazon link to Legacy of Onyx, and I don't know if this is a placeholder or if it's for sure this date, but they have a target release date for November 14th for Legacy of Onyx. So there you go.
Well, we'll hope.
Troy Denning did tweet out a couple of excerpts from the book to whet our appetites a little bit. So you can head on over and follow him on Twitter. And you can get a little sneak peek at Halo Retribution. There's also some matchmaking changes coming down the pipeline. They listen to the matchmaking parameters as far as how you match up with people, as far as tiers. So like going out from like gold 3 and branching out there. So they're only going to expand searching to one tier separation. So they're tightening it back in. And then they're treating mid-tier Onyx and up the same for matchmaking purposes. So it's going to be a little more close in to find a more appropriate match. The only exception are that a little bit higher up in the Onyx spectrum and in the championship, that'll be a little bit wider just because of the population up there will be a little less depending on time. So it's mostly the lower tiers and then up to the mid-tier of Onyx. We'll see that more Titan skill match for matchmaking. And then I'm happy about this next part because this may get more people to actually play Warzone now, but they've become, or they're finally saying they're aware of how much of blowout matches there are in traditional Warzone and how the population of that playlist has drastically decreased. So they're looking at changes to the rec leveling system. They're looking at adding what they're calling a rec level drip that slowly increases everyone's rec level over the course of a match. And they've said that in playtesting, they've found this resulted in more back and forth Warzone matches with fewer players stuck at lower rec levels over the course of games. The changes that they're looking to implement won't affect Firefight or Assault, but it will affect normal Warzone.
Warzone.
Yeah. Which I think that's, I hope that's a change that gets more people to actually play Warzone, because I would go and actually play some normal Warzone if that wasn't the case.
Yeah. You know, I'm the same way. That's one of the problems I have with Warzone is not being able to get the rec level enough, you know, up to where I can be effective. And that has a lot to do with my skill. I mean, I'm not very skilled at getting the kills. And with the AI, it seems like the kills get stolen from me, so I don't get the rec bonuses from that or the points. So I'd be interested. You know, if they do bring that out, I may actually start playing Warzone more often.
Me too. It'd be nice to see a resurgence of Warzone matches actually come back to Halo 5.
We did actually play some Warzone on Friday last week, and I think we won. I think we played 3 games and we won 2 of them.
Nice. Way to go, everybody. Good on you.
And the one we lost, the other team, well, 2 people, or 1 person on the other team and 1 person on our team, managed to exploit the match.
How so?
They were in cahoots with each other.
Oh.
And they were able to get through the shield doors of the base, and apparently there is a vulnerable spot on the core that if you hit it with an arc light will kill the core, even with the shield up.
Well, that sucks. Hopefully we'll see a patch for that soon.
I hope so.
Because that sounds like a real game killer to me, pun intended.
Mm-hmm. Now, needless to say, the people that were doing that were added to my block list.
Rightfully so. That's unfortunate.
Don't get me wrong. There's plenty of exploits out there in the games that are mutually beneficial. But when you stage something like that, then that's, in my opinion, just flat cheating.
Which is unfortunate, but that's kind of how things happen. and people find an exploit and they're able to use
it. So hopefully they'll get that fixed.
Yeah. Come on, 343. Fix MCC! Just kidding. A couple other things from the update to wrap it up. They had three playlists that were offering double XP this past weekend, including Infection, HCS, and Mythic Warzone Firefight. There is a kind of grassroots Halo event that took place over the weekend. It was Beachland 6, which is an annual week-long Halo CE LAN. Batcompat is still in progress. There's no news yet, but the Noble map pack is now free, so all Halo DLC for 360 titles should be free now. At least the 360 first-person shooters. I don't think the DLC for Halo Wars 1 is necessarily free, but maybe it is. I don't know. But for all the first-person shooter games, all the DLC is now free. And then there is a new partner as far as Halo toys and collectibles go. It's by Revel USA, and they are vehicle model kits that will be coming September 1st, which likely means they'll be available at PAX. So far, I've seen stuff for Pelicans, Warthogs, and I think there's going to be a few other ones that they have coming to the marketplace. So more Halo gear for those that are into the collecting of said stuff. And then apparently there's going to be a specific pin offered out by Loot Crate that's exclusive to PAX. We'll see if we can grab a couple extras to give away here on the stream, but that will be a couple of the things that are expected to be at PAX. So if you're going, I will be there. Stop me if you see me and say hi. Would like to meet up. Hopefully I'll get my next batch of lanyards in before I leave. Some people over the past, this past year of conventions have asked for one and I haven't had any because I ran out. So I ordered a new batch, so I'll have more lanyards to give away. So that's it for the community update. We also have Yap Yap the Destroyer, which came out. This was in the top of the community update, but since they made a post right the day after, figured we'd go ahead and read off of that one. We saw the trailer the teaser trailer for Yap Yap the Destroyer, and then we had the official launch trailer, which I kind of like how they do it for Halo Wars 2, where they have the one group or squad talking amongst themselves, and then it's like this impending doom coming, and then something happens in there. So I thought this one was kind of cool. And of course, being grunts, it was basically Halo's version of a Zerg Crush. And you gotta love all the grunt lines.
It was definitely interesting. More grunts, more grunts.
We got the best grunt of them all. Yap Yap the Destroyer. And at the end of the video, I guess, is this the same grunt, or did they just reuse the asset of the one where you got the skull in Halo 5? Because they had at the end the yep, dee, da, do, ya, da, 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 at the end of the video.
They probably just reused the asset, because that sounds just like the one in Halo 5.
But I didn't know if the grunt was supposed to be that grunt. I know the audio was reused, but...
Well, I hope not, because we kicked him off a cliff.
Yeah, but we don't know if he actually died. We just see him going to an abyss.
I didn't see no bottom.
He could be very persistent.
You never know. He may bounce.
Just saying. All right, so let's go through some of these abilities that we get with Yap Yap the Destroyer. So primary mechanics, Cannon Fodder is one of the main things that you'll be using with Yap Yap the Destroyer. It's basically a grunt swarm, or Halo's version of a Zerg Rush. They have heavy grunts that lead the charge, and they are no cost to resources. It's just an infantry unit which replaces standard grunts.
Can't wait to see somebody come up with a rush with that.
I'm excited to see some videos of just grunt rushes. just completely overwhelm.
I did find a video where somebody had developed a rush with the cannon fodder and with the brute riders. And I have to admit, those brute riders, they're pretty effective against buildings. Yeah.
Is it like kind of a rampaging brute in a way? Because it, okay.
Well, I think they smash. I couldn't really tell. I haven't actually played with the units yet. So, but I know they took down a Covenant base relatively quickly, and they took a lot of damage because the base had two turrets on it. You know, granted, the guy doing the video was playing against legendary AI, at least the part that I was able to watch.
I couldn't do that.
But, I mean, he blew through the enemy base pretty quick. Let's see, the Brute Riders, they pretty much shrugged off a charge from a Brute Chopper with very little damage.
Okay. That's kind of scary. So in the description for the Brute Rider, it says that the Brute punches thing with their fists, and then the Grunt tells them where to go and shoots plasma pistols. The Brutes attack as is, but can be upgraded with plasma gloves, which is called Punch Harder U. I like how they had fun with the ability names and other things in here.
Oh, yeah,
very
definitely.
Very grunty of them. The Brute Rider also replaces the standard suicide grunt from other Covenant or other Banished leaders.
Yeah, like I said, so far it looks like they'll be pretty effective against buildings and light vehicle, at least.
Yeah, it definitely seems like a building killer and maybe a vehicle killing leader. This is what it seems like so far. Another mechanic is methane, used to buff armor and damage of all grunts in the area of effect. It debuffs enemy units caught in wherever area that the methane is, reducing their damage and armor. And then this one is interesting, guilt. and some of the descriptions on some of these other kind of guilt things are interesting. But it seems like, so the descriptions in here are basically weaken enemies' resolve, which almost seems like they either don't target the grunt units anymore, or they stop shooting. Like there are a couple of different mentions of here of guilt trip and other things that made it seem like it's just like a stall tactic, but at the same time I'm trying to wrap my head around how that works for the leader.
Maybe he just starts chattering at you and you start laughing so hard you can't control your units.
I don't know. Is it like I guess kind of a cloaking mechanism compared to some of the other units? I'm not sure. Someone in the chat, help me out, please. Help us out.
Like I said, unfortunately, I haven't had any time to play with the unit, or play with the leader. And the way things are looking, it doesn't look like I'm going to have any time anytime soon as it stands.
Yeah. And the next things in here are just the units. So we already covered the Brute Rider. So the next one on here is the Grunt Goblin. And someone noted that on the bottom it says Andy. I don't know if that's specifically a shout out to Bravo Andy or if that's someone else.
Oh, that's a shout out. No, that's a shout out to Toy Story.
Oh, it is? Why is that? What's the story behind that?
In the movie Toy Story, well, it probably has to do with both, but in the movie Toy Story, all the toys have the kid's name wrote on the bottom of their foot, and his name is Andy.
Got it.
So, you know, it's I think it's probably okay. A play off both of them. I like the beginning of that. Large and in charge.
I mean, they're pretty much the grunt goblins that we see from Warzone. Your base goblin has what's called unstoppable power wrists and then heavy needle cannons. And the heavy needle cannons can be upgraded to what's called Shard Storm that adds additional crystalline explosions. And then there's another upgrade to make them
explosive fireworks.
Yeah, explosions. Yeah.
So it says,
oh,
launcher gotcha. For additional crystalline explosive fireworks.
Kind of goes in line with the whole grunt birthday party theme.
Uh-huh.
Furious charge helps increase movement speed for all friendly nearby units for a short period of time. And then any grunt unit that is nearby the goblin during the furious charge is also invulnerable.
I have to admit, if you haven't read the article on this leader, you need to read it. It is full of just great little lines.
It's very typical of how you would see a grunt or any description of grunt stuff. Words are hard.
Yeah. Thought processes.
That too. Terminology and how a lot of things as far as grunts are related have been described in the past. And just adds that really witty and funny humor to it. So let's see. Next unit is the methane wagon. We talked a little bit about this last week, but it's a super heavy vehicle. It's a little bit slow and unstable, but it is very powerful and it looks very, very daunting. Right out of the gate, it has what's called a methane aura. It has a cloud of methane that enhances the aggression and damage of nearby grunts. And it also confuses and reduces the damage of enemy units that are within its cloud. It also has a special ability to launch the methane or kegs of methane that would create that cloud. So that same effect, they could launch into an area to decrease the damage of enemy units or increase the damage of friendly units. The clouds can be upgraded to the good stuff. I guess that just upgrades the ability of those or increases the effectiveness. And then if the methane wagon takes on too much damage, or I guess it gets destroyed, it detonates when it's taken out. So basically a walking time bomb. Brute Rider, we already talked about. Heavy Grunt is next. They are basically like what the Storm Elites. They're the next tier up after the base tier of Grunts. They would replace the Jump Pack Brutes compared to other Banished leaders. They have heavy armor and are armed with plasma pistols at the base. With a unit upgrade, they can get Fuel Rod Cannons. And then the Fuel Rod Cannons can be upgraded with the Party's Over special ability. That fires EMP rounds that stuns vehicles and aircraft. And then there's a My Plus One upgrade, which adds an additional squad member to that group. So I think your Jump Pack Brutes come in, what, pairs to start off with? So instead of two grunts, you get that upgrade and it would be three in that squad. So the first of the additional infantry upgrades that the Swarm gets, there is Ankle Biters. It gives them the ability to dogpile an enemy and slow them down. That one sounds really interesting. There's also a Refer a Friend upgrade, which gives units a self-heal ability. That's it for the infantry, and then there's a couple other abilities to go through to get through all the other stuff. You want to take these? Because I'm getting out of breath here a little bit.
No problem. As far as the new abilities, he will have a Shade Drop, which is a drop turret. Can surround a position, you know, add additional firepower.
So it's like a turret drop.
Yeah, it's just a drop turret, just like some of the other leaders have. Except for it's, you know, a plasma cannon instead of a, you know, UNSC turret. Then you have a Grunt Dome. It's a portable shield generator for your units. It protects all damage directed at friendly units that are under the shield. And then the next one is Methane Party.
This one's fun.
Little Yapper's ultimate ability a devastating salvo of bombs. So it basically drops methane bombs on you. It also causes any Grunt units to go berserk and fight harder. Enemies are cloaked and confused by the fumes. So the same as the one from the vehicle.
It seems like a pretty standard methane effect. I like the last sentence there. It's a furious and frightening fartacious fight fest.
Well, they definitely got the fartacious right. Somehow I think there's a lot of fart jokes here somewhere.
It would seem like it.
Next ability is Grunts from above. It's basically a dropship brings in Grunt infantry units and a methane wagon. It includes veteran brute riders, one heavy Grunt squad, and one methane wagon. Can be upgraded to include an additional veteran brute rider and a veteran heavy Grunt. Some more abilities. Please don't shoot me. Let's see. Yip Yap humbly begs for mercy from his opponents. It triggers a short ceasefire. No combat occurs in the game until our units won't attack or use offensive special abilities. Offensive leader powers cannot be triggered once the ceasefire is active. You know, it's an escape tactic. So, you know, you use it to defend your base or something like that.
That's interesting. It's a full field ceasefire.
I'm waiting to see how people will work that in.
Me too.
And then we got Guilt Trip, which is the opposite of Battle Hardened. Enemies experienced and veteran bonus gained from killing your units is greatly reduced. Killing innocent grunts is bad, and you should feel bad about it.
They don't seem that innocent to me.
You really need to read through this. Next one is Get Back Out There. Infantry units lost in combat for a short duration after this ability is active are returned for free at the nearest base. Cool. Surprise Party. A special mine which, upon being triggered, bursts with confetti and unleashes two Vully veteran cannon fodder squads. These squads are only temporary, but they aren't subject to the pop. They don't affect your population.
That's your grand birthday party.
It didn't say whee in there anywhere. Last one is Glassing Beam. Standard orbital banish glassing beam. Damages all types of units. Looks like they do have three new achievements per normal. First one is you met me on reach. Win three matches as Yip Yap. Piggyback. Activate the Grunt Goblin charge 10 times. Last one, that sweet smell of home. Fire 15 methane shells from the methane wagon. Okay. Those are 10 gamer score apiece. That's a...
All this is available as the final content update to the Season Pass. It can be purchased separately for Windows 10 and Xbox One for $5.99 US. And the next thing will be coming out is Awakening of the Nightmare, which will be September 26th. So if you haven't updated Halo Wars 2 yet, this update is available now to you. It came out last Friday. So go download it and have fun with grunts. Grunt Rush, yay!
Yay!
All right, so that's it for the official news, the Halo-specific related news. There's a couple of community things going on. Since our last podcast, CMT SPV3 has been released. Launcher version 3.1.0 Delta is available now for download. and it has the installer included in it, so it will install a second copy of Halo Custom Edition if you already have one installed. And that is specifically modified for SPV3 gameplay only. It's a 2.15 gig download, I think.
Yeah.
Something along those lines. And you can head on over to their subreddit to get the download link. It is reddit.com/r/HaloSPV3. And we actually had Masters on our show 2 episodes ago for episode 591. So you can hear a little bit more about some of the differences between part 1 and part 2 of the mod, what things they added, what other things that they changed, and a little bit more about the idea behind the launcher and the concept behind making SPV3 completely separate from your normal Halo CE install.
I have to admit, it's a real painless install. So, especially if you've already got custom edition installed, the only additional thing you need is you do need to have a valid Halo CE key, or I should say Halo PC key, to install it. But the installation is really painless. They give you a lot of options to be able to preset some things before you launch the game, like your controller layout, your resolution, different sound options. So definitely check it out.
We'll be streaming it probably after PAX. I'll do a campaign run through of it, along with a couple other things I need to be streaming. But you can go download it yourself. Again, that's reddit.com/r/HaloSPV3. All one word. No dashes or anything like that. Next thing up on the community list is Forge Hub is having another forging contest, and this one actually has some money behind it. There is a $1,000 prize pool to go amongst the top 3 winners, and it is a 1v1 map submission. There are almost no restrictions for this contest other than when you have to have it submitted. It is $600 to the first place winner, $200 or $300 to the second place winner, and $100 for the third place winner. All submissions are due October 2nd. In order to submit your stuff, you have to have your gamertag included, any other core forgers, if applicable to your map, the map name, link to the download, short description, and then one screenshot of the map to submit it. There are no limit of the amount of maps that you can try to forge to register to enter. You can co-forge with as many people as possible. Any maps that were made before the start of this contest are not eligible, or like published or like made on Waypoint or have been featured on a forging YouTube channel or stuff like that. Maps should be original, shouldn't use prefabs unless you get permission to use the prefabs. No plagiarism allowed, all that kind of stuff. Maps will be judged on design, aspects of the map, like lighting, atmosphere, aesthetics, that kind of stuff. And then gameplay, how playable is it? So there's more information over on ForgeHub.com. Just head on over there. It'll be one of the first items up there on the website. It's the main article right now. So depending on when you're listening to this, it will be either still the main article or one of the top 3 articles up there. Again, ForgeHub.com, 1v1 forging contest. There's no word on whether or not this will go into a matchmaking playlist, but chances are there will be some good use behind some of these 1v1 maps in some kind of community-based endeavor. Next thing that we have is the Halo Loot Crate theme for October. Is Flood Warning, kind of going in line with the DLC coming to Halo Wars 2 for Awakening the Nightmare. And the summary on this one is actually pretty cool. There's nowhere to run that they cannot follow, nowhere to hide they cannot find. One single spore can destroy an entire species. consider this your flood warning.
That's good.
I have a feeling the figure will be something flood related.
Sounds that way, yes.
I don't know if it's going to be a grave mind or an infection form or a combat form or what, but it'll probably be something flood related. This is available until October 15th, midnight Eastern time. You can head on over to lootcrate.com/podtacular and then use code podtacular at checkout to get $3 off of your crate. Remember, you have until October 15th, so you got some time. The orders for the last one closed last week, so you have 2 months. And if you're going to PAX, there will also be the last theme probably available there as well. They usually have whatever the latest crate was available at the time at trade shows.
Well, that's cool.
Last thing that we have is there's another fan-built Warthog. And this one actually looks pretty good. The other one that people may have heard of before was Pete Cooper's, which was made for what was going to be a fan film called Operation Chastity, which did not end up coming to fruition. But someone spent 7 years to make their own Warthog. It was posted on Reddit and a few other places. Some gaming news outlets picked it up, like Kotaku and a couple other news outlets. There is an Imgur album of the Warthog as well. You can go find it out there on Reddit or HBO. It has a link to some more pictures as well of the Warthog. Looks pretty good. It has kind of a more bluish paint job to it. And it's a lot more metallic looking than the official 343 Warthog, which looks like it has a little bit more of a, I don't know if I would call it a plasticky look or a video game look. Not sure what exactly I would classify it as, but this one that this fan has made looks pretty legit. It kind of looks reminiscent of a Halo 2 style Warthog to me.
Yeah, he'll get a lot farther once he gets the steering wheel attached to the front wheels. It's really cool what he did. It looks like he took an old Chevy pickup truck, four-wheel drive pickup truck, and cut it down. From what I can see, he did a really good job on the body. I don't know if he used metal or fiberglass, but it looks really good.
Yeah, I have to pick your brain about car stuff sometime, because you're a lot more knowledgeable about this stuff than I am.
Well, considering that's what my job is, yeah.
Well, that's my point, yeah. How would you build a Warthog? Or like, where would you start if you were doing it?
Well, if I did it the way I'd want, I would build it to emulate an actual Warthog. Four-wheel independent suspension, four-wheel steering. I would probably put a small diesel in it just to get the sound right. The original Warthog sound, not the Halo 4 one or the Halo 5 one.
That runs on water.
Well, they all run on water. You know, they were all hydrogen powered. It's just the sound of, or the Warthogs from Halo CE up till Halo 4, they all were consistent. They really had that deep, rattly sound, which is associated with a diesel, especially older diesels. Like if you listen to like a Chevy or a Ford from the mid-90s diesel pickup, they just got that really deep, rumbly, rattly noise. And that's what the original Warthog always reminded me of. So when, you know, Halo 4 came out and it sounded like it had a nitro-fed funny car motor under the hood, it just didn't sound right to me. But don't get me wrong, it's a cool sound, but it just doesn't sound like a Warthog to me. But yeah, I would...
That makes sense.
I would try to build...
But I think that sound was probably sourced from a diesel engine car.
Probably was.
So that would make sense.
But yeah, going back to the way I'd build it, I would try to emulate an actual Warthog as closely as I could. The only problem with doing it that way is rough estimates. That would probably cost me about $150,000 because there's a lot of custom manufactured parts that would have to be done. But it'd be cool.
Well, yeah. Anything out of the Halo franchise, especially something on that caliber, would be awesome. What about doing something like I know a Mongoose is very similar to an ATV already, but is there anything there that would be specific to warrant a separate build for like a Mongoose?
I mean, you could, with the right four-wheeler chassis, you could build one and be relatively accurate with it. The tough part would be probably the wheels, because the Mongoose wheels are kind of oversized for what come on your standard four-wheeler. I'm not saying they're impossible to find, but they're much bigger than they would be on a standard four-wheeler. Of course, you know, the typical custom body modifications. But other than that, you could do a Mongoose pretty easily.
So if anyone wants to give Godzilla T $150,000 so he can make the perfect Warthog.
Yeah. I wish I had the skills to do what I wanted to do.
Could you, instead of doing like a metal chassis, do something with plastic or 3D printing that would maybe make it cheaper?
Well, if I was going to do it with a composite material, I'd use fiberglass. Because on that scale, fiberglass is much easier to work with than trying to 3D print something. For one, to find somebody that has a 3D printer that's large enough, and then you'd have to glue large sections together and then reinforce the seams so that when you drive it, it doesn't shake itself apart. I'm not saying it can't be done, but 3D printing the body of a car is just not really practical right now, because you'd have to do it in too many pieces.
Not saying like the entire car, but maybe like aspects of it, like the dash stuff or like the smaller effects.
The shape of the Warthog kind of dictates what you can manufacture. Even dash component, I mean, like small dash components, yeah, you could probably 3D print them depending on how realistic you wanted them to look. But to, you know, to do the dash, it would require a lot of custom electronics. You'd have to do some programming with an Arduino or something like that to get the lights to work correctly if you wanted them to be in sync with the engine RPMs. The drive system, you could do the drive system in one of two ways. You could either have the diesel engine run a generator and then have four independent electric motors drive the wheels, or you could have the motor drive a hydraulic pump and then have four separate hydraulic motors. The trick is synchronizing the four motors to make sure that when you step on the gas, all four motors are rotating at the same speed, so you're not constantly making a left turn.
Like one of those RC cars back in the day where you had to manually adjust the...
Then the next thing is steering. Same thing, same problem. You can do it with hydraulic cylinders, but you would still need to sync all those hydraulic cylinders to make sure that they're all moving the same amount of distance when you turn the wheel. It's not as critical as the motors, but you still need to get that pretty close.
So I've never heard of a hydraulic motor. What's that compared to a traditional motor?
Well, a hydraulic motor, it's basically just a motor that's driven by hydraulic pressure. It works kind of like a windmill, except for the vanes are inside of a hardened steel cage or case. And the hydraulic fluid is pushed on one side of the motor and it spins. They're used a lot in industrial equipment like forklifts, tractors, construction equipment, like all those backhoes that you see in construction sites. a lot of, well, tracked vehicles, you know, like bulldozers or, you know, little tractors, anything with tracks on them, they have hydraulic motors that actually spin to move them.
So is it like a pump that keeps on pumping the hydraulic fluid through the motor?
Correct. You have a pump attached to your power plant, okay, which in this case would be the diesel motor. You have lines that go through a control mechanism, whether it be, you know, some type of valve, because you have to be able to control the amount of flow, because the more flow you have, the faster the motor turns. It's kind of the same principle as an electric motor. You know, you think of the electricity as the hydraulic fluid. Same basic principle. It's not exact. Like I said, with a, you know, propulsion system, you can do it either with electric or you can do it with hydraulic. Either way is really expensive. But yeah, it to build an accurate Warthog, especially if you wanted to build it to scale, that's an expensive vehicle.
Well, yeah, especially if it's to scale.
Yeah, the way they did it, it's a fair way to do it. I mean, it's not improper. I've seen other custom vehicles that are built from video games where they did basically the same thing. The only real difference is some of the better ones, they use a custom chassis so that the chassis is hid in the body more than it is in this one. But, you know, with a, for a guy doing it in his garage, he's done a really good job. I mean, the little details that we would catch, you probably wouldn't catch on a cursory inspection, other than the winch and the tow hooks on the front. But he may not be complete with the tow hook portion. And to find a winch, an open spool winch like the actual Warthog has, that's something you'd pretty much have to manufacture, and it most likely would not be functional.
Find in an antique shop. There's one in Mouse Hunt.
Yeah. If you want one that operates, they can get pretty expensive. If you really want one, probably your best bet is a, you know, a junkyard for tow trucks or crane equipment, things like that.
Makes sense. 7 years, though. That is a long time. Is that about what you would expect for a build like this to take?
Oh, yeah. For a guy just working on it on nights and weekends, I mean, you think, you know, during the week he probably only puts a couple hours in on it a day if he works on it every day. And then he'll probably put maybe 5 or 6 hours on the weekends to it. You know, because I'm sure this guy has a real life, you know, like a job and family or, you know, friends, things like that. So, I mean, you add it up, and it's not a, you know, a horrid amount of hours. I mean, that's a lot of hours. But, yeah, that's for a guy just doing it in his garage, yeah, that sounds real reasonable. Most ground-up restorations that people do on some of these older cars, you know, they're doing it themselves in their garage, they'll take 5 years on one of them. And that's basically just cleaning up and returning something to stock, you know, to original condition. You know, that's not custom fabricating a body or, you know, the different pieces of the body and, you know, making the chassis fit in a certain set of dimensions. I mean, there's a lot of custom work on that vehicle. So yeah, he's done a really good job.
The only thing that that kind of really sticks out to me, and I don't know if this is just by artifact of having to fit the chassis, or maybe I just need to take a second look at Warthog and Halo, but the bed of the truck where the turret would be seems a little longer than it is in the game. Is that?
It could be. He could have done that to accommodate the chassis itself. You know, it's really hard to tell if he's shortened the chassis or not, because I don't have anything in there to really compare it to. He could still be using just a, you know, a full size pickup chassis, and he may have not shortened the chassis at all. But I mean, it could just be the angle of the picture too. I mean, it looks proportional. Yeah, I see where the back looks a little long, but you know, it to me, it looks proportional. So, I mean, you know, the vehicle looks very, it looks balanced. You know, nothing sticks super out of place. You know, the body, the wheel openings, the tires, they all do look like they fit together. So he did a really good job of scaling it. I mean, the only thing I would say is, you know, the seats might be a little bit too tall. You know, there's usually a little bit more room between the top of the seat and that roll bar.
Still, it's really cool.
I like how he's got the bent wiper arm sticking out of the hood. Oops.
Oh, I didn't even notice that first.
I just noticed it. But I mean, it looks like he took part of the cab and used that for his firewall. So he'd have something to mount, you know, controls and pedals to. So, you know, that makes sense. You know, he built a custom windshield frame. Looks like he did a custom cut on some plexiglass.
And this isn't finished. There's still a couple more things that they're putting onto it.
No.
We'll link this in the podcast entry on the website just so you guys can find it. But yeah, I learned a lot about cars tonight. But
yeah, it's a cool looking truck.
It really does look really cool. Thanks for the car lesson, GT. So that's going to wrap it up for us tonight. We'll be back next week. Maybe Kenny will be on, because I don't know if I mentioned this last week, trying to get him on to talk about the Microsoft Halo tournament that are happening at the Microsoft stores. And there's going to be one in a couple weeks during PAX. So it'd be cool to get him on to talk about the upcoming tournament, how they got started with getting all Microsoft stores to doing these tournaments across the world. So we'll see if we can pull him onto the show and have that be our last show before we head out for PAX, or at least before I head out for PAX. So check us out on our social media. We are on Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, Discord, Mixer, Twitch, all that stuff. You can also check out the Podcast Network, which is a network of gaming-specific shows, including Critzcast, which is a TF2 podcast, Guardian Radio, which is a Destiny podcast, Podcast 76, which is a Overwatch podcast, The Running Cliff, which is an EVE Online podcast, and then there's Work in Progress and How to Murder Time. You can find them over at thepodcast.com. Another reminder on the Loot Crate, the next theme is flood related, flood warning. You have until October 15th. And if you head on over to lootcrate.com/podtacular and use podtacular code at checkout, you'll get $3 off of your crate. There's also our Amazon link that you can use to help out the show if you're doing any Amazon shopping, including the latest book that's going to be coming out next week, Halo Retribution by Troy Denning. And there's also the Scorpio, which I actually think is sold out now on Amazon. But if there's any other Halo stuff that you are getting, you can just go to podtacular.com/Amazon and then browse around for your Halo shopping there. And then at checkout, it helps us out a little bit to help pay the bills for websites and stuff like that. If you're going to PAX, I will be there all weekend. So let me know on Twitter or some other means on social media. I'd like to meet up with you. If I have the lanyards, I would love to give you a lanyard and a wristband and stickers and buttons and all that kind of stuff. All different kinds of Halo swag. So again, if you're going to PAX, let me know. I'd love to meet up with you guys. And that will be it for tonight. Thanks everyone for tuning in. Thanks, GT, for the car lesson. It was really informative.
Oh, no problem. And be sure to check out our...
Yes.
Our Xbox Club. I do have an active activity on there for next weekend for recording of Achieving Halo. So if you'd like to join in, please respond to that. I've got a looking for group posted, and I will, when I have the opportunity, I will do... We'll be posting a looking for group for the Achieving Halo, so keep your eyes out for that. Right now I have one person. I have another person that I won't be able to Be able to get him in this weekend because of work schedule. He's not available when I'm off work, so hopefully we'll be able to get him in next time. Feel free to hit me up with that looking for group, or just send me a message at Godzilla T on Xbox Live, and we'll get you in.
Awesome. And also make sure you check out Godzilla T on Fridays, starting at 8:30. He hosts our Fraggin' Fridays lobby. It's usually lobby's choice, whether it's Warzone, custom games, matchmaking, whatever multiplayer playlist is available. And that is broadcasted. You still broadcast on the Podtacular Twitter, right? Or Twitch?
Correct.
And then we also are broadcasting our podcast both on Mixer and Twitch on Tuesdays at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. And to do a quick overview of our company commendations, we have 9 out of 31 complete for the helmet. The lowest one that we have is still the lowest one. Is Sorry Mate, which is Killing Marines, and maybe with some of the changes that they'll make to Warzone, maybe some more people will be into actually killing some Marines in normal Warzone. And then our next closest one is No Hard Feelings, Kill Enemy Spartans. We have about another 22,000 to go. Just under 22,000.
That's a ways to go.
Well, figuring that if everyone is playing, you get... If you have 5 people playing in an hour or so, that's, what, a few hundred, potentially, depending on what playlist you're playing?
Yeah.
So, in time.
So get out there and kill them, Spartans.
Thanks, everyone, for tuning in. We will be back next week. So we'll see you then. Keep on fragging Yap Yap, if you can survive his grunt rush.